This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wins. And there are times where I felt like the Houston Rockets have done stupid things. Think the Tari Eason foul on Jimmy Butler.
Oh my God.
On the inbound play. And Ime Udoka's losing his mind on Tari. And Tari's like putting his hands up.
Now, what are you doing?
Shangoon. Yep. Like that play where Steph Curry just says, and then Reggie's like, it's not even a good pump fake. There's 2 seconds left in the shot clock. But he's right. Like, you're 7 feet tall. Don't leave your feet. Like, that is something, that is a principle that you teach kids growing up playing, you know, youth basketball. Don't leave your feet when you're the bigger player and you're going to contest a shot.
Right.
These are all little things. And when you don't have the accumulated track record of playing in these big stakes games, you do dumb things. How many bad turnovers from Jalen Green just in the series alone?
Oh my God.
And when I'm yesterday, not just the turnover pass, a shot that's a turnover. It's a bad turnover.
I mean, 1 of 5. Again, Adam Wexler, who joined us last week, pre and post radio coverage for the Houston Rockets, saying this series is going to go as Jalen Green goes. And that's how it went. All the losses for the Rockets, Jalen Green didn't have a good game. Their only win, how many did he score? 30 plus. There you go. And again, you can't rely on a player like that in the starting lineup. You just can't do it. But I can rely on Jimmy Butler. I know that. Steve Kerr, though, this was interesting. After the game, talking about the health and the status of Jimmy Butler, he was saying if this was the regular season, he might be out a couple weeks.
We had to have him. I mean, if this were the regular season, he'd probably miss another week or two. But it's the playoffs, and he's Jimmy Butler. So this is what he does. The rebound at the end was just incredible. The elevation, the force, then of course knocking down the free throws to clinch it. Jimmy was amazing.
Did you ever envision the Steve Kerr and the Jimmy Butler dynamic to be like this good?
It's because the Jimmy legend is growing by the day.
Because we've seen in the past, I mean, there was some more wear and tear and stuff built into the relationship, but Eric Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler, not quite see eye to eye at times. They were going at it during games. I think Eric Spoelstra, the personality, very different from Steve Kerr, the personality. I'd describe Eric Spoelstra as very intense in comparison to Steve Kerr. I think Steve Kerr is a player's coach for sure. But there's a respect factor there that I don't sleep on when it comes to Jimmy Butler and Steve Kerr. They respect each other's greatness at the end of the day. And Jimmy Butler, I think, gravitates towards certain coaches in a way. Like, who's the head coach at the time? Was it Doc Rivers for the Sixers when he was there a couple years ago? Joel Embiid?
Yes.
That was the head coach. Didn't really work out. Or was it the other guy, the beard? Brown? Not Bruce Brown. It was someone else. That's a player. I can't think of his name right now. But Tom Thibodeau, whether it was the Chicago Bulls or Minnesota Timberwolves. I think Jimmy actually respected Tom Thibodeau because he respected elite, like, physicality and defensive prowess, and that's what Tom Thibodeau tried to instill in his team every single practice. He tried to get the best out of his players. He respects the greatness of Steve Kerr is what I'm getting at here, and I think Steve Kerr has a tremendous amount of trust in Jimmy Butler, and I'm not going to sleep on the fact that it's only been a couple of months and he's been able to garner that much trust from his head coach, and we know about trust when it comes to Steve Kerr and the young guys.
Yeah, he either has it or he doesn't with you. It's pretty simple.
And he has all the faith in the world in Jimmy Butler, and why shouldn't he, right?
I mean, he has all the reason to believe. Do you get this, like, not mythical is not the word, but, like, when I think of Jimmy Butler and just the way people talk about, like, playoff Jimmy, like, it's a thing. There's, like, a MacGyver-like quality, like a Chuck Norris-like quality.
Thank you, yes. Brett Brown was the guy I was thinking of. Sorry, Brett Brown. Yeah, sure.
You know, like, when you bring up
Paul Bunyan?
Paul Bunyan, yeah. But, like, all those jokes that you get on Chuck Norris.
Right.
You know, like, time waits for no man unless it's Chuck Norris.
Exactly.
Those types of means. That's what I feel about Jimmy Butler now.
The only thing
now
under...
Now I'm a believer. I'm a believer in the whole Jimmy Butler experience.
Shout out to Monkeys. What is it? The only thing under Chuck Norris's beard is another fist. There you go. Like, that's
what I'm talking
about. Exactly.
When God said, let there be light, Chuck Norris said, say please first.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's Jimmy Butler. That's insert the, Jimmy Butler. The name Jimmy Butler instead of Chuck Norris.
When Chuck Norris jumps in the water, he doesn't get wet. The water gets Chuck Norris.
That's what I'm saying.
That's pretty good.
When Jimmy was staring into the soul of Dylan Brooks, and he was like, "You a bum. You're weak." I was like, "Oh my God, I love him so much."
When Chuck Norris looks in a mirror, the mirror shatters because not even glass is dumb enough to get in between Chuck Norris and Chuck Norris.
So, okay.
I don't like Dylan Brooks.
I want you to read some of these, but insert Jimmy Butler into there.
Okay. Let me hear. I got the best. 102. Wow, that's a lot of Chuck Norris jokes. Let's do Jimmy Butler jokes. Jack was nimble. Jack was quick. But Jack still couldn't dodge Jimmy Butler's roundhouse kick. How about that?
I mean, that's
pretty good.
That actually should have been Draymond.
Sorry, Eason's.
I'll take this up a notch. About Superman wears Chuck Norris pajamas, but Chuck Norris wears Jimmy Butler pajamas.
Oh, now that is good.
That's next
that
level. That's
good.
Not bad.
That
a
is
a lot
good.
Of these are roundhouse kicks. I was like, no, that is that's Draymond.
Jimmy Butler can count to infinity.
Oh, Jimmy Butler uses pepper spray to season his meat. That's not bad. Jimmy Butler plays Jenga with Stonehenge. Jimmy Butler is able to slam a revolving door. That's a good one. The revolving door one's a good. That's not bad.
I mean, look, when
888-957-9570 on the Boxer and Gerson Working Jew Attorney's text line. Give us your best Jimmy Butler a la Chuck Norris. There you go. Do that.
The guy, the fact that he could pull that off last night, given like that layup he hit over two guys with the left hand in traffic, given the situation, given where his glutes are, It's just incredible. He had all the free throws that were needed, and the timing and the instincts on the rebound at the end of the game was just next level.
Jimmy Butler can dribble a bowling ball. How about that one? I kind of love that one. Actually, that's perfect for him. He doesn't want the whole playoff Jimmy Mitt though. That he lets the media do that.
That's what Supermen do. That's what the real comic heroes do.
That's what real heroes do.
Exactly.
We're not gonna do this. This is part of the game. Your body starts to warm up. You start to move a little bit better. You gain confidence. People start talking to you. And then, good things happen.
It's like when Superman's getting asked by the general at the end, how could I trust you? You're from another world. It's like, dude, general, I grew up in Kansas. It's literally Jimmy Butler right there.
When Jimmy Butler lifts weights, the weights get in shape. That's not bad. That's not bad. That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
RJing on the YouTube chat. Playoff Jimmy eats nails for breakfast.
Oh, that's a
sponge. Without any milk.
That's a good one. That's a SpongeBob reference, Sammy. I don't know if Joe wasn't a SpongeBob guy. That's our generation.
He's way too old.
He's way too old for that. He's more of a Ren and Stimpy guy, I want to say.
Yeah,
there you go.
My brother was more Ren and Stimpy.
Okay, that's not bad. Jimmy Butler makes onions cry. Okay, not bad. I was crying ad nauseum yesterday. I was dying on the court.
He told Draymond, apparently, before the possession at the end, you get the stop, I'll get the rebound.
It's pretty
that's
sick.
That's the stuff of like Hunter Pence legend, where he's spitting the seeds talking about be legendary. Like, if you go on to do something special, we're going to point back to that particular conversation. Because that was a moment in time.
Draymond Green had some poignant thoughts on Jimmy's presence and like the commitment of the ownership group that made to him, Steph, and Steve. I want to listen to some of this stuff. It's really good sound. This is Draymond talking about it all. Jimmy, the ownership group, the commitment to everyone, Steve, Steph, Draymond, like the timeline, keeping it straight, all of that. Draymond Green on Jimmy's presence and the commitment from the ownership.
Well, his presence, number one, is huge. I've spoke about it over and over again, just the commitment that our ownership group and front office made to Jimmy, but not only to Jimmy, to Steph and I and Steve. We've been here for many years and still feeling like we have a chance, but not quite there and need a little boost. And our ownership group made a two-year, $120 million commitment for us to get that boost. And what he's meant since he's been here. Like, tonight was great. He played through the injury. It was beautiful. But it's just his presence. What his presence does for this team is humongous. The first three quarters, he couldn't move. Not sure how he started moving in the fourth quarter. But first three quarters, he couldn't move. And yet, he never complained. He stuck with it. And I think when it was most important, when the time was right, everybody on our side looked to get him the ball. And when you get him the ball, he made great things happen for himself or for others. It was huge. I think my favorite play was the last rebound. I looked up, I thought it was Kuminga out there flying. It was Jimmy. That was my favorite play of all of them that he made.
It wasn't Air Congo. It was Air Jimmy buckets. And Jimmy Butler,
with a bum butt.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler does not get frostbite, by the way. Jimmy Butler bites frost. So there you go.
The guy was unbelievable. Mm. And I don't want it to be forgotten that I thought Quinn Post, just forget the stats. Seeing him get into the mix was awesome. It's like, dude, that is how you, as a big man, protecting the smaller guys, like that is important. There's an element of that. And to have other people besides Draymond get in the middle and be a tough guy, it is important on this team. Well, there's a false moniker of softness with this squad. So I loved every bit from the young player.
I think Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green eliminate that. If anyone thinks this team's soft defensively or offensively at this point, you can't be a soft team with Jimmy Butler and Draymond as two of your starters. You just can't be.
No.
I'm sorry. If people are still saying that, I haven't heard it. If they are, they're idiots. That's all I can say.
And Looney's not soft,
no,
right?
No, of course not.
He's also not the type that's going to, like, throw an elbow.
Is Gary Payton the second soft?
No.
No.
But he's also another guy. He's not going to throw an elbow.
No, of course. Well, no. Like, he's not going to do that. But he'll give you a hard foul. He'll give you a hard foul. I think yesterday he did that. Like, Moses Moody will give you a hard foul. He's not going to back down. His shot's not there. But you know what? Guy Santos, he tries very hard. He's the lunch pail guy. He's going to go out there. He's going to have 110%. Shout out Brendan Fraser in Bedazzled.
But the soft moniker always bugs me.
It's like
Curry is the farthest thing from soft.
That's weak. I don't think anyone could say that anymore, especially giving up against and going up against this Rockets team who's anything but soft. I think the Warriors are showing who the better defensive team is, too. At the end of the day, their players are making more plays defensively than the Houston Rockets. Now, albeit the Houston Rockets offense is not exactly spectacular. I'm not going to confuse it for the 2017-18 Golden State Warriors. But again, credit to them mucking it up and playing their style and the Warriors adapting and winning and beating them with their own style.
I actually thought their offense was a lot better than it had been in the games prior. You had the inside-out game of Şengün getting anything he wanted in the lane. Amen Thompson getting downhill, deep into the lane, deep into the paint. Fred VanVleet, they had multiple kickout opportunities and some wide open threes. I think that they were cooking in this one. And so it was a great win because situationally the Warriors got the stops they needed.
Well, it was definitely both were cooking because it's the first time all series where both teams have scored over 100 points, which is a rarity today. And I'm laughing because that doesn't happen anymore. It's a throwback series. And it's honestly been refreshing for me, for a guy, and you grew up watching this brand of basketball. I think for a lot of Warriors fans, the brand of basketball they're used to is the high flyers, the three-point shot, you know, making like a 120, 125. Like, over 100 points is the bare minimum for a lot of Warriors fans. So them having to adjust their mindset and frame of mind watching the series, it's been interesting. But it's been refreshing for me watching two styles blend beautifully. Because at times, you got to go ISO ball. And Jimmy's been able to do that. And at times, he's even chucking up threes. And Dylan Brooks doing stupid fouls when he's chucking up threes. Like yesterday.
Did you think that was a foul? Hand on the hip.
By the letter of the law, it was. I thought it was, given what was called in that game, it felt kind of weak, but at the same time, by the letter of the law, it's a foul. You got to call it. And why was he even doing that?
I don't know.
Just hands up.
It was unnecessary.
Hands up. Jimmy Butler's not a three-point shooter. Dylan Brooks, what are you doing?
Close out, hands up, feet on the ground.
Yes.
You know?
Dumb.
This is stupid.
I don't understand what he was doing there.
I don't like Dylan Brooks.
That's all I know, though. That's a lot of people. That's how Warriors fans are feeling today.
I don't like Dylan Brooks.